We're coming to the end of another school year, college year. Folks are going to be graduating from high school and also from college. And this is the time of year to preach a message like this. Who are you going to become? Who will you become? And I think that we have dealt with this topic, no doubt, in our lives, but I want to deal with it tonight again one more time. Who will you become? We need to be challenged, I think. Now listen to what I'm going to say. We need to be challenged to wake up and rediscover our dreams and our passions. Do you remember one day when you were younger that you had such dreams for God, such passions for God? The day you got saved, the first day you got saved, and after a while you began to live and learn about the Lord. And you had such a passion to do something for God. I know some young men who had a desire to preach the gospel, but they're not preaching the gospel today. I know some young men, some young ladies who had a desire to be a missionary, but they're not missionaries today. I have thoughts of folks who were part of our fellowship here at the Harvest Baptist Temple who were actually good church members. They paid tithe. They attended the church services. They worked in nursing homes. They sang in the church choir. They don't even go to church today. Isn't it sad how that we live our lives and we get further and further and further away from the things of God? I think we need to be challenged tonight to rediscover our dreams and our passions. May I ask you as I look at you? What are your dreams? What are your passions? These are important questions to try to answer tonight. What are my dreams? What are my passions for the things of God? Oh, the world is so slick. Isn't the world slick? Takes away our passion for God. Takes away our zeal for God. Takes away our thoughts about God. This morning in Sunday school class, I started a little lesson that I'm excited about teaching to our people. Somewhere about 30 folks show up on a Sunday morning in my class, and we're talking about neutralizing the serpent's poison. I believe with all of my heart the devil is poisoning us with ideas and thoughts that's not even godly. And we're losing our dreams. We're losing our anticipation of what I had as a desire for God and as a passion for God. Preacher, at one time I had such passion for God. I would come to the altar. I would pray. I would weep. I would cry. I would sing the songs with zest. But I don't even have any joy anymore. I don't even desire to go to church. God help us to neutralize the devil's poison. Like the disciples in the time of Jesus, you and I have so much to offer the world. I want you to think about it like that. You and I have a lot to offer the world. With Jesus as their leader, the disciples were wide awake and focused on the opportunities that were provided so they could change their world. And before they knew it, the Bible said about those disciples, well, they turned Jerusalem upside down with their gospel. Isn't that wonderful? They actually turned the world upside down with their enthusiasm and their passion and their gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a day to be living. But maybe, just maybe, I don't know. Maybe some of us in this room are asleep tonight spiritually. Maybe we have never lived up to our potential. We've had dreams, but my dreams, preacher, have been shattered. Oh, if you only knew my life. It's a wreck. It's a mess. I had dreams one day, yeah, as a teenage girl or as a teenage guy. I had a dream. I want to do something for God. But, you know, my life was a mess, and I went down the wrong road, and my life is shattered. My dreams have been shattered. I've never lived up to my potential. You may have unfulfilled dreams and unfulfilled longings. Well, if you're dead tonight with your dreams, let Jesus Christ, let Him raise you from the dead tonight. Wouldn't it be good for us to begin right here? We're almost in the month of May to say, bless God, when May gets here, I'm going to be something for God. I'm going to resurrect my dreams, resurrect my passions. I'm going to do something, preacher, for God this year. And let's not wait for another month, another 2 months. Let's do it now. You've been sleepwalking. It's time to wake up. Start dreaming about what the Lord wants you to do what the Lord wants you to become. It's not just what Harvest Baptist Temple should do. It's not just what Harvest Baptist Temple should become. It's not what Pastor Lewis should do or what Pastor Lewis should become, but every single one of you tonight. What does God want you to do, and what kind of passion does God want you to have? Wake up. There's a story in the Bible about a young man named Joseph. Turn with me, if you will, at Genesis 37. Genesis chapter number 37. I'm going to give you just a three-point outline. It won't take me very long to preach tonight. But I want you to write this down. It's a wonderful thought. God gives God-sized dreams to people with God-shaped hearts. I really believe that with all of my heart, that God gives God-sized dreams to people with God-shaped hearts. How's your heart looking tonight? Is it shaped towards the things of God? Or is it shaped only for what you want out of life? God's going to give a dream to people. Listen, we can't live without dream, without dreaming, without vision. What's the Bible say? The Bible says without a vision, the people what? The people perish. I've got to have a dream. I've got to have a vision. There's no place. When we stop having dreams, when we stop having visions, we're ready for death. Without a vision, the people perish. Oh, I know there's a lot of things going on, and right now, I want you to know, just in case we have to do something, there is a tornado watch that's out in our area. That doesn't mean it's happening. That means that there's a watch. The conditions are right. But I've got people alerted to alert us if something were to happen. But you never know about tomorrow. You never know about today. But what about your passion? What about your dream? Let's talk about it. God gives God-sized dreams to people with God-shaped hearts. Joseph is the man I want you to think about. If you know Broadway Joe, you know Broadway Joe, don't you? Broadway Joe, well, he's the fellow who wore the coat of many colors. He was like a Broadway Joe. Man, his brothers hated him. They didn't like Joseph at all. He's the guy with that multicolored coat in Genesis 37. We discover that Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. I don't think you ought to do that with your children, but this was a favorite son. One night after having a dream, he told the dream to his brothers. Man, what a bold man he was, telling the dream to his brothers. In the dream, the brothers' bundles of grain bowed down to Joseph's bundle of grain. And they understood that Joseph felt like he would somehow rule over them someday. And later, Joseph had another dream where the sun, the moon, and the stars bowed down before him. When he told his father was concerned and wondered what it meant. What in the world? But his brothers got very angry. In fact, go to Genesis chapter 37 and look at verse 5 through 11. And I don't think we'll read all that, but if you're pondering a dream given to you by God, don't go telling everybody about the dream necessarily. You know, Joseph was so brassy, it looked like he was trying to brag. It looked like to his brothers that someday you're going to bow down to me. And he looked so brassy when he did that. Listen, if there's a dream that God gives you, you don't have to go around broadcasting your dream. Just live for God. If God gives you a dream, if he does have a dream for you, and you have a dream, and God's giving that dream to you for your life, it will come to pass if, listen, that dream will come to pass if you choose courageously to pursue it. That's the deal. It's not because you became a salesman for it. You don't have to be a salesman for your dream. Just pray and seek God and let God challenge you and you live the life and God will bring it to pass. Everybody will say, wow, I can't believe we did this. Wow, I can't believe I did this. Let that dream come. Joseph's trouble. He had some trouble. Joseph's immaturity created a relational divide and provoked huge jealousy, which it naturally would. If you say to your family, or if you say to this church, I've got this vision, and God says all of you are going to bow to me someday. Well, that wouldn't go over very good, would it? With anybody. So Joseph's brothers hated him. His immaturity created that relational divide, provoked huge jealousy. And part of the way that God works in us is He begins to give us dreams of the lives we could live or the people we could become if we would just trust Him and if we could live courageously. Listen, God wants you to be somebody, but He also wants you to do something. But you really can't do anything until you are what God wants you to be. You got to have the be before the do. Be something for God. But do you know what? I was teaching my class this morning about how the devil doesn't want you to live like that. The devil wants you to be like the devil. And I asked my class to start my class this morning. I said, would this offend you if I said to you, we have some of the same characteristics as the devil? I said, would it embarrass this class this morning if I would tell you that some of us in this room, in fact, all of us in this room, have some characteristics of the devil? They just looked at me. I said, we should not be surprised if we do, because a little drop of his rebellion, the devil's rebellion, has fallen into our human heart. And we may no longer belong to the devil. Maybe we really are saved. But sometimes, I'm telling you, sometimes we act like the devil. Come on, somebody say amen. Sometimes we act like the devil. Oh, brother, Lewis, preacher, pastor, not me. I don't act like the devil. Oh, yes, sometimes we do. Oh, yes, we do. You see, but God doesn't want us to act like that. We're poised between God and the devil. And each of those want our loyalty. And they wish to turn us into their likeness. Can I ask you a question? Does Jesus Christ, after salvation, want you to grow into His likeness? Does He want you to look like Him? Well, don't you understand something then, folks? If that be the case, and that is the case, the devil wants you to be like Him. And he wants you to be like His likeness. So there's a constant war going on all the time inside of you because of who you're going to be like. We sing the song. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like Him all through life's journey from earth to glory. Don't we do that? You say, I want to be like Jesus. Yes, everybody does. When we're saved, we want to be like Him. But what's the devil's purpose? He wants us to be like the devil. And even though we're saved, he wants us to act like the devil. That's what we're teaching. And I guess, Lynn, can you put Galatians chapter 5 up there? Go to Galatians chapter 5, would you please? I want to show you what I showed the Sunday school class this morning. 19, 20, and 21 actually literally proves what I'm talking about. It talks about the deeds of the flesh. And what are those deeds of the flesh? You see, every one of us, we're fleshly. And there are deeds of the flesh. Go down to verse 19. Let's start there, Lynn, if you will, please. 5:19. It says this. Now the works of the flesh are these. They are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Oh, preacher, I don't get into that business. I'm not an adulteress or adultery. I'm not in fornication. What about the rest that's on the list? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Have you ever said about anybody, I just hate them. I just hate the situation. Hatred's on that list too. In fact, so is variance and emulations and wrath. And oh, by the way, strife is there too. I just don't get along with those people. That's called strife. Keep following. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunk. I don't get drunk. Preacher, I don't drink. I think drinking is wrong. And I think anybody does that is wrong. What about, do you think it's wrong if you have strife? or envyings. It's just as bad as drunkenness. And revelings and such of the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Struggles. Have you ever been bitter? Since you've been saved, have you been bitter? Well, sure we have. We struggle with rebellious attitudes, with maliciousness. Have we ever been rebellious? A church asks you to do something, I'm not doing it. That's rebellious. Maliciousness. Talked about somebody else, run somebody else down, trying to lift yourself up, slander somebody, making yourself look better, them looking worse. God says that's not supposed to be in the kingdom. The poison of the devil. Well, I had a vision, preacher, that I wanted to work for God. I have such a desire. I used to have a passion. But anymore, I don't know. I just don't have that passion. You see, Joseph had trouble. His immaturity created that relational divide and provoked that jealousy. Part of the way God works in us is He begins to give us dreams, visions, passions, that we could become somebody, that we could do something. And then He gives us the tools in which to do it. And we will succeed if we live courageously and obey Him. Now, his brothers despised Joseph. In fact, you can go down to 37, 18 through 24. They despised him and sought to destroy his dream. But once you have received a dream from God, I want you to know that you need to refuse to give up. That dream is going to come to pass no matter what opposition you face. But the opposition is listed down. I'm not taking the time to read all of that particular setting in Genesis 37, 18 through 24. But you can see what they did and how they felt. And Joseph is in Egypt. His brothers sold him into slavery. He served one of Pharaoh's officers and one of Pharaoh's officials. But his master's wife kept trying to seduce him, and he kept refusing her advances. Angry at him for being scorned by him, the woman falsely accuses Joseph of trying to rape her. And he's thrown into prison. And while he's in prison, he befriended a fellow prisoner who forgot all about Joseph after he was released. He promised to remember him. Joseph said, "Would you remember me? Because I'm here and I should not be here. I've been falsely accused. So would you just remember me?" "Oh yeah, I'll remember you." Did he remember? No, he didn't remember. He forgot, so Joseph spent another couple of years in prison. And it wasn't right. He forgot all about him. After years, Joseph was called to interpret a dream of Pharaoh. No one else could interpret chapters 37, 38, and 39. Wonderful chapters. Now, because Joseph was given an understanding by God, he not only explained Pharaoh's dreams, but had a plan to overcome the future drought. Joseph became the most powerful ruler in Egypt, second to Pharaoh. I do want to show you that. Go down, if you will, to chapter 41, book of Genesis 37 through 43. Let's get 37, Lynn, if you can for me. And then we'll go to 43. Great lives are born out of great dreams, folks. I believe this with all of my heart. And that often comes through great sacrifice and great suffering. Our dreams that God places in us are a foretaste of our destiny. There is a danger, though, if we sacrifice character to accomplish the dreams or make them happen. God does not want that. We're in danger when we're getting there becomes more important and the most important thing to us. Even when you have the right dream, you can always make the wrong decisions. God's got a dream for you. Now let's read 37 through 43. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man whom the Spirit of God... That's talking about Joseph, who the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this... Remember, he interpreted the dream and figured out how to solve the drought. There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Now the dream's coming. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you, than thee. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Now because he was courageous and he followed the dream, God did the work. You see, great lives are born out of great dreams that often come through great sacrifice. Joseph went through great sacrifice, great suffering. Our dreams that God places in us, I said, is a foretaste of our destiny. The way to work out your dreams is to become the person God wants you to be. Listen, God can't ever help us to fulfill our dreams if we don't become the person He wants us to be. We've got to be that person that God can fulfill the dream. Our fear of our inadequacy is masked many times by our arrogance and our indifference. But you were created in the likeness and image of God. Don't forget that. Everybody in this room was created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. Everybody. And God has a plan for you. As broken and messed up as we are, or that we may be, God sees what you can become in Him. Every time I'm out soul winning, talking to people, and they start talking about, oh, preacher, you don't want me in your church. I'm a mess. Man, I've been in the drug scene. I've been in the alcoholic scene. And I'm all messed up. I got tattoos everywhere. I got rings everywhere. Piercings everywhere. I'd be a shock to your church if I came to your church. I said, no, that's who we're looking for. We're looking for people just like you. You know, because that's who God looks for. God's not looking for the all tidy up Christian. God's looking for the sinner. I know, you know, everybody, all churches do the same thing. We all have our little groups of people, and we all act like the same, and we dress the same, we look the same, we act the same, we walk the same, we have all the same mannerisms. So everybody's got to be like that. No, everybody's got to be saved. We forget that. We need salvation. Oh, God loves us. You know, when I got saved at 13, George, God had a vision for me. He had a dream He gave me. When you got saved, He got a dream He gave for you. He's got this mind. What He wants you to become. Don't you think the heart of God is broken when we don't become what He wants us to become? Oh my goodness, Mom, Dad, doesn't it break your heart? It does mine. When my kids or grandkids don't become what I think they ought to become, it breaks my heart. By the way, you and I are just like God. It must break the heart of God, too. When He's got such great plans for us, and we don't fulfill them. He's got great blessings for us, but we never receive them because we mess up the dream. I'm telling you, what we need is the community of faith for love and support. Sometimes we're blind to ourselves, our fear, our inadequacies, and so on. And they are marked by our arrogance and our indifference. But you were created to be like Him. Not like the devil. And you know what? Every time that you are a gossiper, and every time that you cause strife amongst people, you know what you just did? You just did something that the devil now doesn't have to do. You did his bidding. God doesn't cause strife. God doesn't cause bitterness, does he? God doesn't cause indifference. God doesn't cause a lack of fire. Who is it that causes all that? It's the devil. But the devil is using us as Christians to cause strife. So every time we do it, we're using the poison of the devil. And the devil doesn't have to do anything. He just sits back and watches how we're ruining each other, how we're upsetting each other. We don't support the kingdom. We don't love the church. We don't sing the songs. The devil has us right where he wants us. Now, I already told you about that. Don't worry about it. We're okay. We're in the hands of an almighty God. Come on. We're having church. You know, the devil doesn't like... He doesn't like that stuff, you know. He doesn't want us to have church. Let's not give in to him. When you don't show up for church when you could, when you don't show up and you could, you're doing the bidding of the devil. God created church. He created attendance at church. So when you don't, you're doing the bidding of the devil. Be like Jesus. Don't be like the devil. Be like Jesus. Seems like it's so easy to understand. Okay, a dream needs a person to bring it to life. What kind of person do you need to be? And what kind of person do you need to become for your dream to come to your life? Roman numeral 2. I'm only going to 3. What are you to embrace? Now, there's a moment in time when two men met and changed the course of history. I want to show you that. In fact, go to Acts chapter 10 now. Their names are Cornelius and Peter. And we find them in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. So we're going to Acts chapter 10. God had selected Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Remember that? As well as to be a leader of the church. And that was mainly made up of Jewish Christians. But this is outside of Peter's vision and concern. So God hears the prayer of a Roman named Cornelius, who's doing all he knows to do to find God, but through an angel messenger. And you can see that in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. I'm not going to read that whole story, but you can, Lynn, if you want to kind of go from verse 1 and just kind of let them read that as I'm talking, that's good too. But God hears the prayer of this Roman named Cornelius, who's doing all he can to know and find God. And then an angel messenger comes, and Cornelius is told to send for Peter. Now, in the meantime, Peter is praying. Peter had a vision of a large sheet, remember that, loaded with all sorts of animals and reptiles and birds. And Peter is told to eat, right? Does Peter want to eat? No, he refuses, right? It's not kosher, right? Maybe we'll get that later. But he's told to eat. He said, no, I can't eat anything that's unclean, right? And then he was told that if God, now listen, everybody, you who are so bent up about what you should and shouldn't eat. He was told that if God said something was acceptable, it was acceptable. That's what he was told. Amen. The vision was repeated 3 times. Peter's a slow learner. Evidently. It seems Peter had to be told over and over again. Now, about that time, the messenger came from Cornelius' house. And what was happening through Peter's vision was God telling him, I am expanding your vision, your field of vision. I am broadening your sphere of concern. I'm giving you greater responsibility. That's found in Acts chapter 10, verse 17 through 23. Now, whatever God gives you, and whenever God gives you a dream, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God raises the bar when he gives you a dream. My whole life's been about dreams, visions, doing something for God. And everybody I ever dealt with said, we can't do it. It's impossible. You can't. You can't. You can't. I'll guarantee you, Brother Sharp faces the same thing in his work that he does all over the world, putting radio stations. Now, who in the world would ever thought that a man from Clyde, Ohio, would ever go around the whole world putting radio stations, sound systems in churches, radio stations everywhere all across the world? Who would have ever thought that? Well, Gino had that thought, and God put that dream in him. Whew. Gene, I know it. I know he did. When he was a kid, I went to his house. His mama said, oh, you want to see Gino's studio? I said, studio? What are you talking about? He said, Gino's got a studio. How old were you? 15, 16 years old. They took me to the house and opened a little closet door, and there was a studio all set up. Now, even before we had a radio station, he had it. It's amazing. It's amazing how God works. But do you see? I'm trying to get you to see something. I'm trying to get you to see that God has a vision. He has a dream. He has a passion. He wants to do something. He wants to do something in little old Clyde, Ohio, that's still not been done, and we still need to do it. That is to get together and build something great for God that is lasting as long as Jesus lasts, till He calls us home. What's that dream God's put in your heart? What are you doing about it? What's that passion? You know, I was thrilled in meetings learning about Mrs. Wiesner. Going to enlarge her learning. She's going to go back to college and get her master's degree. That's awesome. God's touching her heart for some reason. Ooh, there's a heart touch there. There's a touch of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to do something for God down the road, even more than what I'm doing now. Listen, don't lose the vision. Don't go to sleep. Don't be sleepwalking. There's something we can do for God. Let God enlarge our vision. Let Him enlarge the scope of what you can do. I went back the other day, Joe. I'm not trying to embarrass you at all. I love Joe back there. Young man. And God's been dealing with me about Joe. And so I went back to him. I said, Joe, I love you, man. But I want you to dedicate yourself to God. I said, I see in the future something for you at this church. I don't know what that is yet. But I'm telling you, God's been touching my heart about you. And you need to just give it to God. Give it to God. Let God use you mightily. Ladies and gentlemen, don't lose your vision. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose your dreams. I've got to do something for God. When people lose that, they lose it. And then we never see them again. Whenever God gives you a dream, He raises the bar. God is not simply inspiring you to be more like a hero. He gives you a dream to expand the parameters of your concern. That's what God's done for me. The Apostle James tells us that if we go to James chapter 4, verse 17. Here's what James says. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You see, the apostle tells us if we know the right thing to do and we don't do it, what is it? What is it, everybody? It says it right there. Therefore, if I know to do good but I don't do it, what is it? It's a sin. Don't be guilty of that. Push yourself. Be at every church service. Be at the prayer meetings. Be at the school operations. Be at the radio stations, hereathons. Work, 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 labor. There's nothing like it in the world. Give yourself to God. Why not? Once the dream is in your heart, now listen to me, once it's in your heart, it'll be in your hands. Then you'll do something. You can't do it with your hands, so you have it in your heart. Now, Peter went with the men from Joppa to see Cornelius. God was expanding his circle of influence. And I wonder, is your dream too small because your concern is too small? What am I to embrace, preacher? This is a question of passion and compassion. The answer will determine the world that you will change. You cannot even begin to live the dream God has for you until you stop caring about yourself so much. You got to quit caring about yourself. Well, I don't make enough money, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. Quit caring about yourself. Just give yourself to God. Let God take care of it. Your dreams create the space for the dreams then of others. You see, Bill Brown came to me one day, and we have a Christian school, and my son left to go to the military. Bill Brown shocked me one day. He came into my office. He sat across from my desk. And he said, Pastor, he said, have you filled that position for the Christian school yet? And I said, no, I don't have anybody right now. I want you to pray with me about it. He said, well, I'm praying about that. I am. I said, so how can I help you, Brother Brown? He said, I'd like to have that job. I said, I did this. That's really funny. He said, no, I'm serious. Then I felt terrible. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were joking. I mean, when you're making $80,000 and you want to make 30, why would you go from 80 to 30? Why would you do that? I couldn't figure that out. He said, I've always wanted to be a worker here. And that's what God wants me to do. If it's available, I'd like to have it. Yeah, I said, we might make it available. And he'd been here ever since. You know why? It was a dream, a vision in the heart of a man. I want to do something for God. I want to make a difference. And so now he's really made a difference. People come in. Hey, how you doing? Everybody's jumping. Right, folks? I take you and throw you against the wall. He grabs those kids and does all kinds of silly stuff like that. I'll punch you right in the nose. You know, he says to parents, say, I love it, man. It's great. Mr. Brown's awesome. I say, he's crazy is what he is. He's crazy. But they love him. Why? It's a dream. What must you face? Number three. Now, if you're going to create the life of your dreams, you're going to need to dream big. Dream big so you can live big. Dream big. You know, I know I'm about finished as pastor here, but I'm telling you, that little retirement community back there, that ought to be built. And you guys ought to help me do that even after I resign and retire. We ought to build that thing so I can come back and live someplace right over there. Your life will never become what you do not dare to imagine. Your life will never become, now listen to me, what you do not dare to imagine. Oh, you know, some folks are just as happy as the Lord. I work 12 hours a day, preacher, come home, have a cup of coffee, eat a little supper, sleep in my easy chair, and then go to bed. I do it every day. I'm okay with that. Man, I can't live like that. I got stuff driving me. Dreams, visions. What am I going to do next? I mean, where are we going now? What are we doing next? What's God going to do with us now? On and on and on it goes. What must you face? You will not become everything you dream of, but you'll never become anything you don't dream of. Well, that's important. As soon as you dream, you'll be invaded by nightmares. Oh, I'm going to do something for God. Boy, get ready for the nightmares. They're going to come. I've had nightmares for 44 years. Some of them are sitting right here. Seriously, you think the devil's going to let you get by with dreaming something great for God without giving you a nightmare? No, he's going to say, how are you going to pay for it? What are you going to do? How are you going to do that? Where are you going to go now? Who's going to trust you now? On and on it goes. As soon as you dream, you'll be invaded by nightmares. All the things you're afraid of, they'll haunt you. Have you ever felt that even though you believe in God, you don't believe God can fix your situation? Have you ever been there? Well, I believe in God, but I just don't know if God can fix this. God can fix everything. Yeah. You believe in God, you believe the Bible, you believe in Jesus, but your life's a mess. Wow. Ezekiel, and I'm done. You got to go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Just real quickly. Ezekiel had a vision of a valley of dry bones. And in that valley and in that vision, the Lord breathed into those dry bones. And what happened? What happened, everybody? When the Lord breathed into those dry bones, what happened? They lived again. Right? They came to life. We're in dream. We're half-baked. We're half-lived. We've half-accomplished. We got really close and it didn't happen, so we gave up. We gave up on living the life of our dreams. The Lord Jesus wants first to breathe new life into us. And then new life into the dream that He's got for you. You would never know. You will never know. I can't talk about it. Brother Wolf, you would never know how many times I sat in my office and said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. It's just, I just can't do it. I just can't. Sit there and cry like a little baby. God, what are you doing to me? I can't do this. I can't. I just can't go anymore. It's too frustrating. Driving me crazy. I can't. And God said, yes, you can. I would never have called you if you can't do it. I called you because you can do it. I get up from there, wipe my eyes, say, bless God, come on, devil, let's go. I'm going to leave my office now. I'm going to walk out there like I own the whole thing. And I'm going to take the devil by his stinking face and whip him today. You know what? Did pretty good. Amen. What I'm saying is this. Maybe you have messed up. I've messed up an endless number of times. Maybe you started over a lot of times. I've done that too. But as soon as you came out of that gate, you came crashing down in your mind. And you feel like I'm just nothing, preacher, but a bunch of dry old bones. I've messed up. I've really fouled up my life. I get angry so much. I'm so frustrated. God wants to ask you one more question. Can these dry bones live? Hey, can your dry bones live? He's asking you. Preacher, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to call it, and that's it. So God says, okay, I want to ask you one question. Can these dry bones you're giving me live? What's your answer? Yeah, they can't live. Nope. All humped over. Nope. I'm done. Oh, no. Listen, wake up. Get out of that sleepwalk. Stand on your feet. Stand tall for God. Hey, these bones can live again. How? Because God touches those dry bones. Well, Gene Kutcher is a perfect example. Gene Kutcher has been away from our church for many, many years, Gene. Gene was here with his family and got a lot of problems. A lot of difficulties. He walked back into our church a short time ago. And he said, preacher, I've had it. I'm going to get back to God. And I'm going to start doing things right. And you're going to see a difference in me. He comes to every service. Glory. That's the way to do it, Gene. Buckle down and say, I'm coming. I'm doing. I'm going to do it. That's it. God gave me a vision. God gave me a dream. Jesus, I never, with tears in his eyes, never should have left this church, preacher. The old devil just took me away. But I'm back. I'm back to do something for God. I want to do something for God. He comes to the prayer meetings. Isn't that awesome? What must you face? What fears haunt you? What failures have marked your life? Maybe there's a dream buried way down deep inside your soul, and God is waiting to reconstruct that dream and put all the bones back together again. Whew, glory. Wouldn't that be a great day? God is waiting for you to recognize you cannot control the four winds, but He can. If He commands you to act and you trust Him, you will do what He has created you to do, the dream will become a reality. But before you'll ever live your dreams, you have to discover a dream worth living. That's why God is essential to your journey. And that's why Jesus has come. I don't know how many of you have been disappointed in life and disappointed in your dreams and you have lost your passion. I don't know how many have that. But there are folks here who have lost their passion. They don't have any dreams anymore. There's so many things messed up, preacher. In my life, I haven't got anything left. Oh, yes, you do. You've got a God in heaven who loves you. And He, listen, He planted that dream in you to begin with. And whatever He planted in there, He's going to bring to fulfillment. If you're just willing to step up, say, God, I'm going to give you myself tonight. Let's stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed.